wrote down what she said. Don't try to catch a falling knife. Financial advice there about buying falling stocks. But try to tell that to the three Americans and the British man who received the French Legion of Honor today for thwarting that attack by an armed gunman on a train from Amsterdam to Paris. The three Americans, Anthony Sadler, Alex Garlatos, and Spencer Stone, are childhood friends. Spencer Stone is in the Air Force. Alex Garlatos is a member of the Oregon National Guard. He just returned from a tour in Afghanistan. But over the weekend, they both said that military training did not kick in until after they just got up.
I mean, I didn't really have much of a state of awareness. It wasn't really a conscious decision. We just kind of acted. There wasn't much thinking going on, at least on my end. I don't know about them. Spencer?
No, I don't know.
No thinking, not at all. And our next guest says that in acts of extreme altruism, that's usually the case. If you've ever wondered, what would I do faced with the same situation? He may have the answer. Yale psychology professor David Rand co-authored the recent study, Risking Your Life Without a Second Thought, Intuitive Decision-Making and Extreme Altruism. And professor, who did you study and what did you find?
So what we did for this paper is we collected interviews that Carnegie Hero Medal recipients, people who risked their lives to save strangers, did with different news media at the time that they did their heroic acts. And then we analyzed the text of those interviews.
And what did they say?
Almost across the board, they said that they didn't think, they just acted quickly, they went with their gut.
Here are some of the quotes. Lenny Skutnik, who was the man who jumped into the Potomac to rescue victims of an airplane crash, he said, it was a human reaction. It was like breathing, like walking. I didn't think. Another man who rescued a woman said, it was like a bolt of lightning. Something hit me. As opposed to what? What's the opposite of that kind of thinking?
So the opposite of that kind of intuitive thinking is what we call reflective or deliberative thinking. And it's things where you carefully calculate out the odds, or you use self-control, you use willpower. And so what could have happened in a situation is you could imagine that you see a bad thing happening, like in the context of the train, you see the gunman on the train and you think, oh no, I'm scared. If I attack him, I might get hurt, but it's going to save all these people. It's really the right thing to do. I've got to make myself do it.
In other words, if you take that much time to think that one sentence through, you probably won't do it?
Exactly. Yeah. And not because it's too late. In our study, we controlled for the amount of time they had to act, but rather it's that psychologically, once you start thinking like that, you start coming up with excuses and rationalizations for why you don't have to act.
Well, and your brain will receive that as you could get hurt, or, you know, someone else could get hurt. You call this the danger of deliberation, that you'll delay and won't do it. But it's exactly what we're told to do.
Right. And it's the thing that is in your own self-interest. You know, this is a funny situation where deliberation that usually works very well for you, it still works very well for you personally, but it has these unintended negative consequences for other people.
Well, and you told the Washington Post, you're not taking sides on this, whether people should act or not. When you say danger of deliberation, you're not, you know, commenting on whether or not people should react. But given what we know about why they react, you know, without thinking, what can we learn from this?
I think it teaches us something about human nature and the way to think about altruism, which is that where the altruistic desire to help others typically comes from is a sort of automatic conditioned response. My idea is that in everyday situations, when someone asks you to help, it's typically a small stakes thing that you can easily afford to do that will help them and then will come back to benefit you in the future, because then they'll be positively inclined towards you. So you get in the habit of helping people and you develop this kind of intuitive, cooperative impulse. And then in a high stakes situation, your first response is to just keep treating it like daily life and say, oh, I should help. And then if you stop and think about it, you're like, oh, wait, no, this is really different. This is a bad idea.
So in other words, you can train yourself not to think about it. If in fact you want to be one of those people, if you want to be, you know, someone when tested who could do something heroic, you're suggesting that it may be possible to cultivate a willingness to act.
I think so, although there's an important point here, which is there's two different things that both need to line up for people to act. They have to be willing to go with their gut, but they also have to have the cooperative gut response in the first place. Because if you have someone whose initial impulse is to not help, then that person is definitely not going to help. So we have done a number of studies on how you can train your impulses to be cooperative. And that's a sort of first step that needs to happen. And then you also need to be willing to go with that cooperative impulse. And I think there's much less research on how to get yourself to be more impulsive. Because in general, being impulsive is not desirable for you.
Right. David Rand, he's a professor at Yale, teaches psychology, economics, and management. Professor Rand, thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me.